Greetings. Welcome to the Interracial John podcast and our weekly Fear the Walking Dead recap. We are joined, as usual, by myself hosting here, Leslie Mack, and we have, of course,
very white guy.
And he's still very white indeed. And we're joined on the opposite end of the spectrum by black ass Rob himself. What's up, Rob?
What up, y'all?
So good to hear you. We had a week off. Already, they took a week off. Fucking
fuckers.
Lazy ass AMC people.
It
was Labor Day.
Labor Day, so, yeah.
Whatever. Still, people are home Labor Day. They can watch a fucking show on Sunday night. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Yeah, exactly. The shows are already in the can. Put them on the air.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. If this is your first time joining us, we do a weekly recap of Fear the Walking Dead. It's our first show recap that we've done on the Interracial John, so we're excited, and Black Rob has been kind enough to join us, the illustrious Black Rob, who is, if you don't already know, just a dude on the internet trying to get some jokes off, and so we're happy to have him.
You know, you said our first recap, didn't we? We wanted to do a recap of something else. What was it? The Ryan Murphy show?
Which
American
one?
Horror Story.
Well, we're still trying to do that.
We were going to like two seasons ago. I'm like, God, this is too hard. I don't want to do it. I wish we'd watch the show.
Right. But I think it's different now because we weren't tweeting then. Because for me, like the second time we watch it, I just live tweet it then. And it's worked really well for me. So okay. Like we watch it the first time and I'm like, I enjoy it. And then the second time we watch it, I live tweet it. And then that's like all my notes. So it works out really well.
My notes.
I got my notes. If this is your first time joining us, you can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, Interracial John, that's JWN. Or you can go to our website, interracialjohn.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, all that good stuff. And for this show, you can email us or you can leave us a voicemail. You can email us at interracialjohn@gmail.com or you can call us at 657-JOHNERS, that's JWNERS, with your feedback or to let us know who your most irritating character of the week was. We'll hear each of ours later on in the show.
And so many to choose from.
So today, this week, it was a fucking neck and neck race. Let me tell y'all. I mean, it was a whole lot of stupidity running all up and through the TV screen this week. But we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead episode, season one, episode 3, entitled The Dog. The main synopsis just said that Travis, Liza, and Chris seek refuge while with the Salazar family after escaping a violent riot. Meanwhile, Madison defends her home. I think that's the worst synopsis of it, but let's see. A longer one says, with the riot raging outside the barbershop, occupants flee due to a mob set fire in an adjacent store. The group reaches Travis's truck and escapes, but not before Griselda's injured. And they also return home, and a whole bunch of shit happens also at the Madison home. And this was written by Jack Lo Guidice, and it was directed by Adam Davidson, and it's the third episode of the first season. So first of all, let's just go through, like, did you like it? A scale of 1 to 10 compared to the other episodes. What'd you think, Rob?
I liked it a lot. I really did. I'd say I'd give it a 8.5, and I'm just taking points off just because one character in particular just drove me crazy, and we'll get to him, and it's going to be my least favorite character of the week when we talk about it. But it just, other than that, though, I really liked the episode. You know, like I said before, I'm a geek for the kind of the decay of society stuff, and I think we got a lot of that here. So
shit was definitely, the chaos was amped. Like, and in fact, I remember it's called the cold open. That's the first, like, you know, bit they do before they roll the credits and shit. And the cold open included, like, them leaving the barbershop on fire, fucking, like, you know, as they walk out, like, a policeman's getting bit. Like, shit went downhill quick. Like, it went bad fast.
Yeah. It was like when they ran in there, it was just a bunch of people, like, screaming on the streets. And then it looked like Hades had, like, spilled out onto the street by the time they looked out. And in fact, the first scene, well, we'll get to that in a sec. I guess, Drew, what was your, you know?
I liked it. I think that the setup for these kind of moments was good, and the carnage was increased, and yeah, I totally liked it. I thought it was good. I'd say, I don't know if we're doing numbers or
I said
grades.
1 to 10, yeah.
Oh, 1 to 10, okay. I'd say 8.5, 9, yeah. It was good.
Okay. I liked it too. I thought it was good. I thought it amped up the the, you know, like you both said, the deterioration of society. And also, like, I don't know, like the thing I found interesting about the show, and Rob, you touched on this the last episode when we talked about the show, which was this idea of how, like, we're so used to people that already know what the fuck is going on. So it's interesting seeing all of them kind of like coming to terms with the shit that's happening.
He's sick. We can make him better.
We can help you. Like all that bullshit.
Fuck, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Okay, so so that part's been good. So I like that. And I guess I would give it like a 7.5. I would give it, I mean, it was good, but you know,
that's low.
I'm holding out for, you know, they got 3 more episodes, so let's hope it gets better. So I want to give them some room to grow.
18 more episodes.
Oh, I thought you said this was only 6 episodes.
It is, but then they bought another 15 episodes.
But that's season 2.
Okay, call
right?
it what you
so will. So this season, it's that's, what do you mean call it what I will? I'm not calling anything.
I understand that's what they're fucking calling. AMC's calling. I'm saying that. A normal TV series is 20 some odd episodes.
First of all, you can get rid of that normal bullshit because
cable,
like
on, I get it, AMC.
I mean, just regular. A lot of shows only have 10 episodes nowadays. You never know what it's going to be. Don't be trying to bring some old media bullshit on here.
Whatevs.
Whatevs indeed. So I guess we'll just dive in. I mean, the very first scene of the show has Chris appearing through the shutters that are down at the barbershop. And on the other side is a walker right away. So I thought that was kind of a cool way to just open it. Just like, okay, yeah. So now, like, to me, it was a signal that, like, not only are the police and people clashing, but there's fucking zombies out there, too. And shit is not going good at all.
He was right away. Dad, what is that?
What is that? That's the scene we open up to. Travis, Liza, and Chris are waiting for the riot outside to disperse. And then
do you hear Chris say that he should leave just them?
Well, that was a little bit later, but he tries to grab a razor, and Daniel's like, put that shit back. Don't be stealing from me, Mexican boy.
No, I thought that was the first scene. He's like, Dad, we should go, just us. Like,
he was talking about Madison, but that was a little bit longer. A little bit farther into the show, with his dumbass. He's another one. He was really
like
fighting
father,
for that.
Like son, man.
He was really fighting for that title this week, man. Really fighting for it.
He was just trying to get his parents back together. That's all.
Yeah, because you know,
be a family again.
Nothing like a zombie apocalypse to make it seem like your marriage should have worked. So that's the first scene that we get to. You still there, Rob?
I think we lost him. That sounded like a Skype drop.
Still there?
No, I'm back.
Okay,
I'm back. Sorry.
No worries.
Work again.
They better stop calling. You better tell them about themselves. Let me stop. So then they realize people are breaking in next door, and they're like, okay, we're going to be fine. And then this is like the only smart thing Chris did the whole episode. He's like, oh, wait, this wall's getting hot. And it's obvious that a fire has been started next door, and the wall starts bubbling, and they're like, we got to go. Now, here I thought was interesting because there was some tense exchanges between Daniel Salazar and Travis Manawat. I guess this is his last name that I didn't know till this episode. They have a little like real tense exchange where one of them's like, I saved you. I'm trying to save you. Like, I don't know. It was just not good between the two of them. I could see a little struggle there already.
They did that the whole episode. This tit.
Yeah, I know, but this started. It started at this moment because he had a problem with him saying, "There's only what are they going to break
in here
for?"
There's nothing
in here.
Just combs. Right. Yeah. I was only saying that to make my boy feel better.
He's like, "Your boy's a pussy."
Shit about my little barbershop. Okay, homie, I see you.
I see you.
My little barbershop was good enough for you to come into when you were fucking about to, you know, right. I'm just saying.
Exactly. And as they're discussing this situation, this is when Chris says, because they're discussing that they're gonna have to leave, and they're gonna, you know, he's like, we're gonna go to Madison. So he's like, we are? What? We should just go, just the three of us. Like, look at this motherfucker.
Like, you know, he's like, that's his fiance, right? Like the first episode, he was all
living there.
Yeah, the first episode, he was giving up all his shit to go get his, you know, future adopted son-in-law, I guess, or whatever, Nick, right? So like, Chris, like, you're second fiddle, buddy.
It's stepson, babe. Stepson.
Steps, thank you.
Adopted son-in-law.
Whatever. No, but for real though, like, what did Chris think? Like, he's just gonna like move out of Madison's house and like, well, you know, my mom and him are divorced. Like, let's just go. Zombie apocalypse is going
to
make us.
I don't know if they were ever married because she has a different last name, but maybe she just went back to her first name.
I thought that too. But Chris's last name isn't.
It is Manuel. Travis. Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Name. Yeah, they have the same last name, but the mother's is different. Liza, sorry. I shouldn't just call her the mother. The baby mama. Just kidding. So they start running. Now, I want to get your take on this scene as they're trying to get through all of these, you know, zombies and various things. They do show one cop eating another guy. And I thought it was the cop that they showed being treated in the previous episode. It seemed like that was sort of like a nod to that. But that's just what I thought. What about you, Rob? What do you think of this, the chaos that they show you in that scene as they're trying to get to the truck?
I thought it was the fact that there were zombies interspersed with the rioters and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, because at this point, there's still a lot of people who probably haven't encountered a walker or don't know what a walker is. And they're just out there thinking, yeah, let's freaking riot. And then, you know, someone gets bit or dies out there in the riot. And then they turn. And now you have zombies and they're biting more people. And more people are turning. So
totally.
I love that whole scene of them getting back to the truck.
Right. And I would imagine, like, this was one of the things, like, I like them showing kind of what the how people were reacting and how the situation was unfolding, because it would happen very quickly. Because as you said, like, my thing was in the beginning when it was just an outbreak here or there. But of course, it starts exponentially getting worse and worse because then more and more zombies are being made. And so this chaotic scene of like you, the police and nobody there knows who's a zombie, who's a regular person. Like, they have no clue what the fuck. So I could imagine it just being just like that.
And like you, Rob, I thought it was a great sort of like just the amplification of chaos, because it's, you know, whether this is like a, you know, uprising, whatever's going on, this, you know, kerfluffle, and then there's zombies in the middle of it. You don't know who's what and what's going on. You don't have any information. It'd be crazy.
Crazy. So yeah. So as they're getting to the car, though, they are going through under the scaffolding, which weirdly reminded me of the Puerto Rican Day Parade episode of Seinfeld.
You did say that while we're watching.
Because they have this whole, they spend the whole episode underneath the bleachers.
The grandstand.
There.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyways, and as they're going through, some guy cuts off the older lady, Griselda, and right then the police start fire hosing the people that are on top of the scaffolding, and it falls over and fucks her foot up like nobody's business.
Compound.
Bad.
Bone sticking out.
Gross. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. Now, what did y'all think about Liza, Travis, and Chris going back?
To get Griselda?
Yes. Because they were way past them.
Yeah, I think the show is trying extra hard to show us that Travis is the good guy, you know what I mean? So in every situation, he's going to do the good guy thing, you know what I mean? And that's what he did. He went back for her, you know? They could have easily been like, look, that ain't our problem no more. Let's get to the truck. But, you know, he went back and lifted up the scaffolding or whatever it was and carried her out, because he's the eternal, you know, good guy. Mm.
Yeah, so
I don't know if that'd be me. I'm not trying to say that. I don't know. I just, like, we talked about, like, there needs to be like a, like, if you did like psh, yo, Drew, pineapples, it's on. Right. It's serious. Yeah. This is fucking for real. I'm kind of every man for himself at that point. Like, I'm running. Then you better be fast, Leslie, because I'm, you know, I'm
fucking. Are you leaving me too?
Zombie? Yeah, I don't know.
Damn, Drew. What do you mean you don't know? You hear this, Rob? Damn, that's it, huh? Zombies.
That's
20 years.
I could put some miles. I really could just. These zombies aren't quick. That's all I'm saying. I'm a runner. I feel good.
But you don't know if they're these kind of zombies or like those World War Z zombies. Those zombies was fast. You never know what kind of zombies.
That's a different code word. Code word.
What's that code word?
Pineapples with a Z.
Pineapples.
Pineapples.
The rule always is you don't have to outrun the zombie. You just got to outrun the people that you're with. So,
true.
You know, at that point, as long as you're faster than somebody in the group, you're going to be all right.
Damn. I got to get in zombie apocalypse.
I just had a future flash of Leslie, like, clipping me. Right? Like, you can outrun me, are you?
Oh, could pop, you? Pop, pop. Pop, pop.
You go down. You 250.
That's Shane style, right?
It's going to take like six different zombies to eat you, man. Yeah. Gives me some time.
A lot of them going to be right on you. It's going to be real good. But then they,
no
of
brains,
course,
though. No
decide
brains.
That they have to take Griselda to a hospital, which, as I tweeted during my live tweet, is clearly ground zero for the zombie apocalypse. Like, people go there to die. That is not where you want to go in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. Is a
Yeah, that scene was dope. I love how they did it in like quasi slow motion with him just driving, all the fucking lights, the helicopter. They're like, what's going on? It was just fucking madness.
They kept
everything.
Yeah, so they're just fucking killing zombies as they coming out of the hospital and cordoning off the area. They also heard on the radio that a state emergency had been declared in 11 states and that the National Guard had been called upon to manage the riots. So that's going on. That's a lot of states, let me just say that. But it sounds like, I almost would figure that's the coasts. To me, that's what it sounds like when they say that. Like,
and, you know, when they're doing that hospital drive-by, what's Griselda's husband's name again?
Daniel.
Daniel. He gets into another, like, tit-for-tat, who saved who, and, you know, keeping score. And he's like, who's keeping score? Who's got to keep score first? Like, they're still going at it.
They definitely are going at it.
Daniel does not fuck with Travis at all.
No, he hates him. And like, I don't know what that's
about. I like
about.
That about Daniel.
That makes him like him.
Yeah, you fuck that Travis guy.
Daniel's my dog. That's my new favorite character in the whole Walking Dead universe.
Shit, yeah, dude. When he does work later on in the episode, I'm just like, yes.
As soon as I heard Ruben Blades was in this shit, I was like, yes, I'm there. I love that dude. And he's going to totally be badass because he don't play no punks.
He real, though. He real.
He's fucking good as shit. So as they're driving to Madison's house, they see like all the power in all of Los Angeles just go out, and nothing but fires everywhere. And I'm like, damn, where's Tobias at? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Little pimple-faced 30-year-old high school boy was right. When shit goes, when society falls, it goes quick.
Yeah. Oh, I did forget to mention one thing I tweeted was that it was funny because Daniel started like, okay, you're going to go your way. I'm going to go ours. But then when it came time to leave, he was like, okay, everybody all together. Wait a minute. What the fuck just happened here?
Yeah. Conmigo juntos. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. So that I thought that was funny.
Hey, you know, strength in numbers.
I guess at least at first. Meanwhile, the saddest white family in America, Nick, Alicia and Madison, are waiting for Travis to arrive. And they decide to play the saddest game in America, Monopoly.
Yeah, which, well, Nick's all fucking high as a kite.
Nick is the worst. He's so fucking selfish. Lying bastard. First of all, before we get into that, what is your preferred Monopoly piece, Rob?
Ooh, I'm a top hat.
Top hat, very nice. A very white guy.
I'm a shoe.
You are not the shoe. I'm the fucking shoe.
You're the shoe, I play the shoe. I'll
be
the race car.
No, you don't. You either pick the race car or the iron. I pick the shoe. The shoe is mine. I like the little piece on the end that you can run around with. So I picked the shoe. I can't believe you said shoe. I'm so mad at you right now. You know you don't pick the shoe.
Yeah, we don't play Monopoly.
For good reason. Because exactly. You try to pick the shoe. so
you guys never get past the picking of the
That's
pieces.
Right. We never get to anything past it. The shoe is mine.
I'll just put in a plug for a choir. If you think Monopoly is even remotely interesting, but you can't stand that it goes on forever and ever and ever, play a choir.
Yeah, a choir is better amazing. Game. It's a great game. So, something starts scratching at the back door and they think it's a zombie, and they open it up and it's a German Shepherd dog who's covered in blood, but it's not the dog's blood.
Some badass dog.
Now, it wasn't their dog, or was it their dog?
I think it was their dog.
I don't know if it was. They didn't have a dog before
this. He said the dog. He didn't say it's just a dog. It's just the dog. I thought he said it's just the dog.
I don't know. Rob, did you remember them having a dog before? Because I didn't. They certainly weren't making any precautions to take a dog anywhere.
They didn't pack any
food.
I didn't
see a cage. I didn't see no shit about no dog,
fuck that dog
or nothing.
Fuck it. We're out. Pineapples.
I know I'm notorious for being racist in the black guy with his chat room, but when it comes to white people and dogs, I mean, does it really matter? At that point, it was their dog. At that point, it was their dog.
Like, right? Oh, we got to save the dog. So they, let some random big-ass bloody dog come in, because that sounds sick.
Right? Just like, come on in, dog.
Come on in. Okay, what's that on him? I don't know. There's some weird disease potentially going around, and he's covered in blood. Let's let him in anyways.
Pet him.
Fucking dumb shit.
Let him lick your face.
They take him in, and the dog starts barking at the front door. They go to the window, and they see Peter, their across-the-street neighbor, stumbling towards the house, all zombie-like. This lying, cheating, stealing, thieving, junky-ass Nick says, we got to go next door. They got a shotgun over there. I tried to steal it once.
That was the... we watched the show twice. Once we just watched it for fun, then we watched it a second time to like pay a little more attention.
Oh my god!
And on the second watch, I go, oh my god, I didn't even hear that the first time. He fucking tried to steal it. He knows he got a shotgun.
I think Nick cheats at Monopoly. I might add too. Like, he's so shady to me. Like, everything he does, I'm like, this motherfucker's lying. Like, everything. Every time he opens his mouth, I think he's lying. And here he goes, apparently having almost... And the thing is, Alicia acted like it was nothing. Oh, okay, you almost stole it? Let's go get it. Like, la, la, la.
Zombie apocalypse, yo. Who Ridiculous. Cares why you know there's a shotgun? You know there's a shotgun? Let's get a shotgun.
I also will mention that Nick wants to leave Travis and Chris. He's like, fuck them. Let's go.
He did.
Full on. Yep. Full court press, like, fuck these dudes.
He also be real pressed, like, he crushing Vicodins two at a time. He's all fucking, where are the drugs? I need more drugs. Give me the drugs. He's looking for drugs.
He's a junkie. It's only been like 2 days or whatever. So I like that they got this live wire thieving ass on their team. It's fantastic.
They show him crushing them. You think he's cooking them up and mainlining?
No, he's been snorting them. And Alicia's getting increasingly upset. It's like, you're supposed to be weaning yourself, not snorting fucking drugs right in front of me. And I also mentioned he's not even a good thief. He tried to steal it. What happened?
He stole that old man's clothes. He'd be still wearing it.
Why is he stealing the old man's clothes?
He's home.
You're home right now. You got a room there. Get your clothes on.
Travis
got
to have a pair of pants.
You know you're about to leave and go wherever. You just like, yeah, I'm going to rock this old dude's clothes. No worries. I got this.
All fucking strung out. He looked like a walker.
So my second big question of the night is, what the fuck is this labyrinth Brer Patch looking maze next to in between their house and their back neighbor?
With fucking wind chimes and I think it's a California thing, I think.
What do you mean, Rob, you live in California. Y'all got just like Brer Patch labyrinths in between houses down there? Is that how they do it out there?
Some houses, yeah, man. People like to grow shit out here.
Grow what? What would require all of this maze like scaffolding?
That was weird, though. I think that a lot of that was done for dramatic effect, or, you know, when all the crazy shit starts happening later on. But I live in San Diego. We're a lot more about beaches and surfing and a lot more laid back. We don't do all that LA shit like that. So, wow. I don't know. Maybe that's how they get down in LA.
No. Sounds kind of crazy.
It was weird. It's like ramshackle labyrinth maze between the houses. Weird.
But they get over to the house. They find the shotgun and some shotgun shells. And they realize now that the infected dude is in the house and they can hear him fucking that dog up, God forbid. And then they realize Travis is home.
He's coming home. He's pulling up.
He's pulling up to the house and she's like, I got to go save my man because he can't save himself. And she runs
through the labyrinth again.
Back through the labyrinth all crazy like. Now, as they're trying to leave, we see the feet of old lady Tran. They don't look too good.
Nope.
They all black and blue.
That's dead.
Mm-mm. Not a good look. I like that they've been using the lights going on and off to good effect as well. I'll say, like, when they first step into the Tran's basement, the lights turn on and gives it like an eerie like look to it. So I think they've been doing a good job with that, and they've set the scene pretty well that it's been going on and off as well, so it wasn't like what the fuck they doing. And it would probably do that. I mean, well, according to Tobias anyways, right? Yeah. He already told us what was gonna happen.
Tobias told us. He'd be knowing.
So this is you were talking about, you know, most irritating character. This I'm gonna use as Exhibit A. Okay.
This is your Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. Travis, you come home. you are in the midst of a zombie apocalypse. You know this. You've seen the zombies, right?
You've multiple by this point.
Yeah.
Multiple.
You've seen the carnage and the chaos. You come into your home and there's a man huddled over eating a dog. Okay. And apparently you don't own a dog, but whether you do or not, there's a dude eating your dog. That is not the time to be like, Peter, you're sick. It's going to be okay. Come here. Trying to be all like gentle and shit. Just the dumb assery, you know, going into crack houses at 2 a.m, fucking approaching walkers. Like, he's eating a dog. Dude's eating a dog. There is no like, hey, you're eating a dog. Come on. It's going to be okay. You're eating a dog. No. You're eating a dog.
True, that is true. I couldn't. You put it into perfect words.
It's not even enough. He's all upset about this fucking Peter thinking he can, like, you know, save him. He's just sick. He tells Madison to put the gun down.
That's the thing. He's like, put the gun down. What the fuck you talking about? He about to eat your face. Your face. What are you talking about right now? Put the gun down?
Dummy. Just a
even if there's no zombie apocalypse and there's just a dude in your house, like let's just say this is an episode of Cops, right?
Yes.
There's a dude in your house eating the dog and now he's trying to eat you because he's strung out on whatever drugs. Just
bath salts.
That's not the point to put the gun down. That's not when you put the gun down. That's when, look, sorry, you got to die. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
listen.
So Travis, with him, there's no excuse either, because he, at this point in the show, he's probably had more exposure to walkers than anybody else. He already came toe-to-toe with, Calvin. Yeah, came toe-to-toe with Calvin. He was in the shit in the middle of downtown L.A. He saw the shit at the hospital. Like, there's no excuse for Travis at this point.
Zero.
None. And I'll say this, Leslie. I might try to outrun you and the walkers. If we're home in that situation, you got the gun, I'm like, chamber that shit, bitch. Let's go. You know, rack it up. Let's go.
Oh, so you ready to leave me, but I need to save your ass?
No, I'm just saying, if you got the gun, I'm not going to take it away from you. I ain't telling you to put it down.
Well, anyways.
Aim for the head.
Luckily, Daniel Salazar was in the house. Grab the shotgun, and as Travis backs away, starts shooting. He blows part of his face off, but he didn't get his brain, so the guy didn't die. And
well,
then
I don't know if you
racks that shit one more again. Boom, whole head. It was a great scene, I have to say.
Yeah,
it was
the
first like real carnage we've seen on the show.
There's a great explanation when he's later telling Chris about the gun and the different types of rounds and shotgun shells, and it was birdshot is why it didn't do any damage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it did some damage. Let's not get it twisted. If there wasn't a zombie, the person would not be standing. But that shot was great, especially because those of us that are fans of The Walking Dead, we've gotten so used to, like, I mean, the Talking Dead does a like best death of the episode every fucking week on the recap show for a reason, because we get to see, you know, serious death and dismemberment and all sorts of crazy ways that they kill these zombies and excruciating detail and gore.
Yeah, that was like brains out the back, like.
And they slow-moed that shit. I was like, yes, we screamed. We were like, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. And
what
as
does
much
that
as,
say about us as a culture?
As much as Travis is the asshole of the week, that put Daniel in, like, I was like,
yeah,
all right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm down to ride. You can stay in my fucking troop. Let's go.
Yes.
Salazar, he's like season 5 Rick, where he's not with the shit no more. You know, like early on, Rick was like, oh, you know, trying to do the right thing and all that shit. But like, you know, season 5 Rick is like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You gotta die. Salazar's like that at the start of the zombie apocalypse. It's like day 2. He's like, nope, fuck all the bullshit. He gotta die.
Yeah, you're right about that. He's like Rick after the prison and after fucking the governor and shit. He's like, nope, no fucking around, Rick.
And might I also add, Chris had to throw up. Just so you know.
I forgot about that. He got sick. He ran out.
Let's not forget that.
Yo, dude, Peter's brains are all over the wall. I might throw up too.
Nobody else in that room threw up. Just this bitch. Just saying. Chris.
Chris is right up there
I'm telling you, it was a neck and neck race. I'm telling you, people were trying it this week. Trying it, really trying it. Matt. Addison, what's her name?
Alicia.
She somehow gets lost in the Briar Patch maze, you know, labyrinth in between the two houses. And old lady Tran attacks her from behind while she's in there. And Chris runs to her and they fall backwards. And then this bitch somehow gets mad at Chris. As he grabbed her waist.
She elbowed him? She was
mad? She elbowed him in the nose.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Was he touching her or something? I didn't quite get that.
I guess they have an attitude with each other, it seems like. They do not get along. That's what I took.
That's a problem going out east. Yeah, going to the desert together.
They ain't going nowhere.
In the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, so then the Travis, Madison, Nick, and Alicia all watch Susan through the fence. And Madison says she's sick, and Travis asks if she was bitten. Nick's like, that bitch ain't sick. She dead.
Yeah, truth bombs right there. And he's like, why'd you say that?
He's such an ass. I said, Nick with the realness still look like Mr. Roper's secret love child. She's not sick. She's dead. And of course, this little white girl sees her dead fucking neighbor that took care of her after school and all the stuff she said when her dad died. And what's she thinking about? That's not going to be Matt. Only thinking about herself.
And you haven't even seen Matt in like 2 episodes.
And you're not going to.
Yeah. Well, no, you're going to when he come around like episode six.
I don't know about that. Anyways.
Did you see there was that little argument between Madison and Travis where she wanted to leave, like, let's go right now.
Right.
And Travis was like, he's the old one to the Salazar. He's like, no, we got to wait till the morning. There, you know, someone's coming. And she was like, okay, but you got to deal with Peter. You got to take care of the dead fucking body in my living room.
Right. That dude with his face missing in the living room. Yeah.
Madison don't play.
She sure don't. And then they had the scene where Chris is like, my nose is broken. I need to have it set. And Travis is like, oh, no, it's not. And there's another scene. They use the lights for good effect. Travis couldn't quite see his nose and the lights came back on. He's like, no, I think you're all right. It's not broken. Chris looked a little dejected that it wasn't broken because he was crying like a bitch.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I thought.
Oh, it's not broken. I'm going to wipe your face. Anyways, Chris says to him something to the effect of, what was that, Dad? What's going on? And Travis just you just want your kid to die. That's what I realized. Yeah. Because when you say shit like, they're just sick. Are we going to get sick? No. We're going to be all right. No, you're not.
That's what you tell like a 4-year-old, man. Not a fucking, not someone Chris's age. Because Chris is supposed to be in high school, like 15, 16.
Like, come on.
Come on. He's more kid. He wanted to steal a straight razor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell that kid that the fucking shit's going down for real and zombies and yes,
he
might die.
How long do you think you're going to protect him from zombies? Yeah. Like, the knowledge of them. This is what he's trying to protect him from. I mean, not knowing about them.
You blew dude's face off in the fucking living room foyer.
That doesn't sound like a safe plan for your family. Let's make sure you're completely ill-informed about this horrible, dangerous thing that's going to be around.
While we keep blowing people's faces off.
What the fuck?
While Mrs. Tran dead ass is stuck in the fence trying to reach through, you know what I mean?
It's fine.
For real. It'll be okay. It's fine. No problem.
Of course, everybody except Travis wants to leave right then. Everyone. The entire group is like, nah, we should go. Nah, let's leave. This motherfucker's like, no, we got to wait till the morning. You don't even know if the freeway's bad. The lights are dark. Mm-mm. We'll just huddle up here and then we'll go in the morning.
He's a brilliant fellow.
He's the worst, man. What I love about this show is that what we're really seeing is a show that shows like the world changing. Like, we're watching their world like completely change, and it's how everybody copes with it. You know what I mean? And he sucks. He's terrible at coping with all the shit that's happening. You know,
you could like a lineup of all the people be like zombie apocalypse, live, die. You know, just right away. He's dead.
I'm putting him in the dead pile. For sure. And Salazar, I also may know, he's like, you need some matches? It's like, what do you need matches for? You're going to burn it, right? This nigga want to burn everything.
Again, that's like a season 5 technique, yo. Yeah. Because they didn't start burning bodies. You know what I'm saying, dude? Like, that's advanced zombie fucking 201 and shit.
He's like ready to get down. He's like, if this shit is dangerous like that.
And then he's like, he's not going to burn it. He's like, pfft. He's like mad about it.
He's like, man, I'm not even talking to you no more. I'm out. So the three Salazars have a couple of conversations amongst themselves about wanting to go with Travis and Madison and families or not to go with them. And Salazar's adamant that he wants absolutely not a goddamn thing to do with Travis. Like, for real.
Zero. This is not a time you'd be owing anybody favors, especially this motherfucker.
The whole episode, Trill ass Salazar was like, this motherfucker, looking at Travis. Like, his whole motivation or his whole just demeanor the whole episode was just looking at Travis like, this motherfucker.
The whole time, he was like, And it was like, he didn't even know it, but he was like failing every little test that Salazar was looking at him for. Like, nope, nigga, you failed that one too. Mm-mm.
Yep.
Just bad. And then Travis is making all sorts of outlandish promises. I'll never leave you. Like, you just killed a dude who was eating a dog in your house. How are you going to say, I'm never going to leave you? Like, it don't even make no sense.
Well, and we already know because Chris's mother, what's her name again?
Liza
is a nurse. And now we know wants to go back and become a doctor because Travis always said that she should. And now she's going to. She's like straight up. She's dead. that leg, you need like surgery.
No, that's not her. The wife didn't have that. That was Salazar's wife that had.
Oh,
that.
I'm talking about Griselle. Oh, sorry.
Get it together, Drew.
Get it together.
Goodness. So
they. Hey, but you know though, they actually have the makings of a legit zombie apocalypse crew except for Travis, right? You got Trill last Salazar, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, he's ready. Madison, you know, she's ready.
She's a survivor.
She's a survivor. You got crackhead-ass Nick, right? Like, them crackhead skills, they'd be useful.
They would be. I would want a crackhead on my team. They could find shit, all sorts of stuff. Oh, yes.
And then Travis's ex-wife, she was like, nah, she's like, look, that bitch about to die. She's about, you know, the leg is broken. It's going to get infected. And she's a nurse, so she got nurse skills, too. Like,
you're right,
they have the makings of a good crew, except Travis.
Even Alicia, her white woman skills, sometimes you need a dumbass white woman. Look how long mm-hmm. Lori lasted. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true.
And you're right about her being not only a nurse, but, like, she was so clinically efficient with, like, nope, she dead.
She was like, the process already started. No one's going to be able to fix it. Her leg is gone. She going to die.
Who's going to stop it? You going to stop it?
Because I'm not stopping shit.
I mean, she can't. She's not a surgeon.
Sure can't.
She didn't have penicillin and fucking shit. They're at a house. They had to go into school to fucking steal Oxycontin to keep their son from getting the DTs.
Yeah, and it's funny too because Ophelia, the daughter, the Salazar daughter, says, she's like, we should go to Travis' group. I can tell he's a good man. And Daniel looks her dead in the eyes and goes, the good ones are the first ones to die, motherfucker.
And you did. And you said that that's his shtick, is he's the good man, the good everyman. You're right about mm-hmm. that.
Salazar agrees, and he's like, fuck that shit. Griselda smartly
is like, be a good man.
That's right, fuck the good man. Griselda, of course, supports Salazar smartly. So they start getting ready to go and everything. They watch helicopters fly over. This is in the morning.
Is that when they see Madison with the hammer wanting to kill Mrs.
Chan?
Yeah,
so Madison's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I got one last thing to do. And she goes to kill. We forgot the scene where Madison says to Liza, you know, if you ever see me like this, you take care of it. Because Travis can't do it. It would kill him. Even she knows this motherfucker is weak. Soft as hell. She's weak. Like, he's so weak that he would let me stay in this motherfucking state like this.
He wouldn't, like, he wouldn't be the first.
Travis's ex boo and his new boo, they both get it. They're mm-hmm. like, nope, like, we in some shit. Like, this is what we gotta do.
Yep. And so, you saw Liza was like, all right, I got you. Like, literally, didn't bat an eyelash, didn't protest, mm-hmm. didn't say, like, nah, he can handle it. She was like, nah, okay, you're right, he can't handle it.
You're right, he's weak, and I'd be itching to kill you.
I'll kill you, bitch, in a second.
Oh, I thought you was a zombie. I'm sorry,
oh,
girl.
My bad, girl. You meant later? Aw, oh, damn.
Yo, she'd be standing over Madison while she's sleeping and shit.
For real,
like,
dude.
I thought you turned.
I'm just got, like, a mirror underneath, like, the old school to check the breathing. Okay.
You started breathing kind of funny. Sounded zombie-ish. Just making sure. We had
like, oh, did you call? Oh, no. Okay, my bad. I thought you called. I'm sorry.
And then also there was a weird scene where Travis brought the bloody, blanket or whatever that he wrapped up the dead guy in out to the curb. His neighbor was bringing something out to the curb, and they both looked at each other like, I'm not saying what's in mine. I'm not asking what's in yours.
Like, municipal trash hall is going to be fucking
stinky. And I love everybody's trash was out. Like, they realize this shit is just broke down, but they faithfully putting their trash out because someone's going to come get it. Okay, y'all. Whatever. Because that sounds plausible.
What else can you do with the body and the burbs?
Nah, they buried the body. This was just like the excess stuff with blood and shit on it.
What are you going to do with that? Put it in the trash.
Right. So Madison goes to try and kill the neighbor. She's like, she needs to be put out of her misery. I can't leave her like this. What if her husband would come home? He wouldn't even know how to deal with this. How would you react if you found me this way? He's like, but I didn't find you this way.
Exhibit B in Travis is your nomination week. Literally talking her out of that shit, dude.
And notice Salazar was looking right from the window. As soon as he made her drop that hammer, he goes, weak.
Oh, and the,
is that what he said? When, yes. I only watched episode one.
He said weak, literally weak.
Ah, man.
The other thing that I thought was kind of, again, just to Madison's, like, ain't fucking around business, when Travis is talking her out and, like, you know, give me the hammer and, you know, you don't get to decide who, you know, she might be able to save, even if there's a small infinitesimal chance. She's like, there is no chance. And he's like, you know, you don't know that. She's your friend. And she goes, all the more reason I have to. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right, man.
Yeah, do for work. Real. And then, oh, we did talk.
And because she didn't, shit comes back later, right?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
And then there was a scene where Daniel was teaching Chris about the gun and how to load it and stuff. And I was like, Daniel's making all sorts of bold moves, starting training up people. Because I know in his mind, he's like, Travis is going to be dead soon. Let me just make sure this kid can make it through. And Travis comes in and he says, I don't like guns. This motherfucker. You don't like guns? Really?
What did he say? Did he say guns don't care how you feel about them? Oh, man. Daniel is, he's my favorite character. It used to be Rick. I love Rick Grimes, but Daniel is my new favorite character entire Walking Dead universe.
He's
badass.
So good. And I actually tweeted out, Travis is such a punk, I hate him. That's what I tweeted after he made Madison drop the hammer on the floor. They also showed the bloody bouncy house from across the street. Not a good look either. Mm. They start driving away and they see Patrick, the husband of the dead lady next door, arriving at the house like, hey, honey, they wouldn't let me out of the airport. So here I am. And Madison freaks out. And she's like, no, we can't let him. And she says something like, don't touch her or something like that. And just as the old lady's about to bite his neck and zombieize him, the National Guard moves in, shoots her in the head and drags him away. So then they, obviously no one ain't going nowhere now. They start quarantining people to their homes and they starting to do like markings on the houses, almost like you saw in Hurricane Katrina, like how many people were in there and all sorts of like different codes and things. And they take an inventory of who's in the house. They say 9 people are in this motherfucking house. That does not sound like fun for a long-term solution, by the way. And then we see Madison flexing some more of those white women privileges as she comes to basically yell at the National Guard.
Where's my neighbor? She gets all shitty.
She look at it and just shoot her ass.
It's like, bitch, don't you see we got assault rifles? You might want to calm down. You
might want to back the fuck up. Then they didn't tell him about Peter. She just said that the dog got buried. And Nick tries to break into yet another house. As I said, he's not even good at being a thief because a little girl is staring right at his dumb crackhead ass like, hey, what you doing there, sir?
That's enough to deter him. Is that little girl with the doll? And she was like smiling like,
she's
hi,
like waving like, hey. And
he's
then
the best. Every scene, his whole motivation is like, that's cool what y'all talking about, but where the drugs at?
For real, dude. I got to crush and snort some more fucking Vicodins.
And I made a note. Madison lied like it was nothing. Oh, what's that, Matt? Oh, our dog died. First of all, I still do not think it's their dog. Secondly, that ain't just a dog down there. She didn't even bat an eyelash. Like, I'm not telling what's under there. Mind your business. How about that?
How about that indeed?
And then he looks up in the sky, Nick does, and it looks like a plane that's like about to crash.
That was weird.
No, I didn't think it was weird. I thought it was like, because to me, that's the kind of shit that should happen. Like, somebody should turn on a plane at some point. Like, if people are just actively getting sick and stuff, shit's not going to go well. Something's going to happen bad.
Like, say somebody got bit and they didn't really do anything about it, and then they turn, they get on, they board their plane and everything, and they turn while the plane's in the air. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Shit would go bad quickly in that case. Yeah. On the flight anyways, I mean, and beyond that. But so the National Guard's on the street. They're throwing body bags on the trucks and spray painting stuff.
That was like 30 bodies in that dump.
It was
truck.
A lot.
It was
pretty
a lot.
Full.
It was a lot of bodies.
It was pretty full. It was pretty full. And Travis's dumbass says, it's going to get better now.
Yeah, again, just stupid.
Salazar leaves us with these following words. It's already too late. So that to me was like they were back to back, and it was like the biggest juxtaposition of the two, you know,
mindsets,
optimistic dumbass and like realistic badass, which is it's going to get better now. Everything's fine. You know, they're here. And Salazar like, now we really fucked because this is not good.
Yeah.
So
it's already too late.
Exactly. It's already too late. So that took us to the end of the show. And, you know, maybe I'll upgrade it to an 8. Now that we've done this recap, I'm thinking back. It was pretty good. I thought it had some good angst between people and also gave them their first really good look at somebody that was already a zombie. I don't think they quite understand the true motivation of the people yet, but they're all starting to realize, like, yep, these people are dead and they're coming back to life. So I think that's a big switch, where I think before there was this idea that these were still the same people, and you can slowly see each of them coming to the realization that it's not.
Yeah. That's why you have a code word like pineapples.
Pineapples.
So you don't have to, right? So you don't have people like coming into consciousness with the zombie apocalypse at different, you know, tempos and shit. Like, you need to like snap to it. Let's go. This is fucking real. This is not a drill. Come on.
Exactly. So I guess we'll go around and we'll crown our most irritating character of the week. And Rob, we'll start with you.
Oh man, without a doubt, it's Travis. I can't wait for him to die. I need him to get bit and die so soon. Like, and it's not okay. So it, like Drew pointed out, man. Like, it's just like his whole he's sick, this and that and all that. Like, I understand, like, not everybody is going to be up on the zombie apocalypse as fast as everyone else. But Travis, from what we've seen, he's been exposed to way more than everyone else. So for him, there's really no excuse, right? Like, he saw Calvin get folded up by the car, got ran over by the car, backed over, ran over again, is in, like, crippled in pieces, right? And still moving around, right? What else has he seen? He was downtown LA, saw all the crazy shit there, saw the cop eating somebody. He's seen all this stuff, right? And he's still, like, not catching on to the fact that, yo, like, this shit is real. Yeah. And he's like, no, he's just sick. Don't shoot him. Like, I need him to die.
If he says they're just sick, or like, don't kill a zombie one more fucking time, dude. Just one more fucking time, man. Jesus, the dumbassery.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no excuse for him. Like, so, some of the characters, like, you know, and I thought about it. Like, I think last week, or last time we recorded, Alicia was my least favorite or most hated character. But, like, she hasn't been exposed to as much. Like, after this episode, if Alicia is still on some, like...
That's not going to be mad.
Yeah, right. If she's still like that, I might hate her a little bit. But, like, she's kind of seen, like, the real shit now. Like, Travis has seen so much shit. Like, there's no excuse other than they just want us, they want their intentionally writing him to be the juxtaposition to Salazar. Which,
right.
Okay, you know.
I guess. I'll have to give, of course, my most irritating character also to Travis, and it, just for all the reasons that you said, but also because, like, it just seems like he is one of these people that thinks if he just ignores a problem long enough that it'll go away. Like, he never wants to have the confrontation. And I could see that with each of his significant others, that tension being there, where she even says, Liza at one point in this episode, he's like, I always knew you could do it. And she's like, yeah, but that's not what you said. And I thought, this is exactly the fucking shit I'm talking about. Why I can't stand this fucking motherfucker right here is because, you know, they were married and she was like, I could do this, and he never said a goddamn word in his mind. He was like, I never said you couldn't, man. I hate him. Drew, how about you?
Same, dude. You've all said it, Travis. It's a fucking sweep. He's unanimous decision. The fucking worst this week. Most irritating.
Right.
I don't need him to die, but he's going to kill people. He's like Carl. He's like Carl from The Walking Dead, like an adult version of Carl. Good Lord, don't load a weapon and hand it to fucking Travis. Please.
No, I hate guns. I can't stand guns.
Well, and just like the fucking walker that Carl didn't kill on Herschel's farm in the swamp that came back and fucking took Herschel's arm and shit, dude. Fucking, you know, Travis basically said, no, don't kill Mrs. Tran.
That wasn't Herschel, Drew. You're messing up seasons. But
who was the?
Oh, no. It was Dale.
Dale.
Oh, Dale. I ended up getting Dale killed. Dale.
Yeah, but anyway, he didn't kill a walker because he couldn't do it. Ended up getting somebody killed. She should have killed Mrs. Tran. Didn't do it. And now fucking Mr. Tran's, you know, had to like have his wife's head blown up in his arms. Like, let's just start with that. I'm not saying like beating her with a ball peen hammer would have been better for her, but it would have been a lot better for Mr. Tran. And then he's covered in her blood. Now he's in some sort of weird fucking like military quarantine. No good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mr. Trent's life went from 0 to 100.
Yeah, yeah. Real that's quick. Travis's
his
fault.
Face, he was like, "What?"
That's Travis's fault. Straight up.
It really is all Travis's fault. Mr. Trent came home from a trip in literally 5 minutes from coming home from a trip, thinking everything's all good. His wife's head got blown off in front of him. He got hauled away by the National Guard, and who knows? God knows where the hell he is now.
And what they gonna do to him?
Right, yeah. Probably getting probed, blood drawn, all kinds of shit.
They said he had the infectious blood all over him.
Yep.
That's not a good status to have if you're getting to be in possession of the government. Just saying. So that was irritating. One thing I also noticed about this show, now that we're a couple episodes in, is, you know, I like to think of some of the differences between The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. And so cinematically, I think it's interesting. In The Walking Dead, we get so many scenes of like hordes of vampires and a lot of like long shots of them like interacting with zombies. And they're known for those kinds of, you know, scene shots where it's like, you know, lots of streets, you know, empty streets, and then zombies are there, or they come around a corner and there's tons of zombies, or, you know, high up perspectives with lots of zombies and that kind of thing. This, they keep really tight on people's faces. Even that scene where they're at the fence with the neighbor, as she's trying to through the fence and everything, they're real tight on Madison's face the whole time.
Yeah.
With just the hand coming through. And I thought that's a big difference, like look wise to each of the two shows too.
There's definitely like a bunch of like, I don't say nods to like This Is LA, but the ramshackle thing in the backyard, some of the helicopter stuff. There's definitely like, I don't know. It feels like a West Coast show, if that makes any sense. Feels like an LA show.
Definitely. Oh, I think so. Absolutely. And I also agree with, as far as how the show is shot, I thought some of the way they shot some things in this episode were great. Like the one thing that stood out to me was the juxtaposition of when Travis and Salazar were trying to get their families out of downtown LA versus Madison and her kids just playing Monopoly in the quiet house. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, yeah.
What about that?
Yeah, on the one hand, you had all this fucking craziness going on, and on the other hand, you had them playing Monopoly, like, you know, the power's out, but let's make the best of it, you know, kind of thing. And also, like Drew pointed out, that slow, that semi-slow-mo shot of them driving by the hospital and then seeing the power go out. I think the way they're shooting this show is really, really cool.
I do, too. I think, yeah,
they're doing a good job with that.
When we watched it the second time, I thought, again, just that hospital, that minute and a bit, whatever, they slow roll. I was really well done. Really well done.
Agreed. Well, next week we'll be back to recap again for episode 4. And we're also thinking about recapping American Horror Story Hotel this season. We're not sure if Black Rob will be joining us or not, but hopefully.
I'm not sure if Very White Guy's going to be joining you.
You're joining us, by the way. yeah, so Hotel, I think that starts
October something.
Yeah, I don't know when, October 7th. So it'll be, I think, a week overlap between the two, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. And this is the 5th season of that show, so it'll be interesting. We've watched all the other ones, but I have high hopes. I think Ryan, he's done with Glee now, so hopefully he'll have been able to spend some more focused time. And also, Jessica Lange's not on the show anymore. Not that I didn't love her, but I feel like when you have someone of her caliber, you're kind of like forced to make them really central to the storylines, and that can sometimes get in the way when the character's not that thrilling.
Yeah, I thought the circus one was their least successful of the seasons.
It was a freak show, but yeah, I agree. But we'll see what they do. Should be interesting. And Lady Gaga is on it, so that should be interesting also. But we'll be back next week recapping episode 4. And Rob, please tell everyone where they can follow you on the Twitter so they can read you getting your jokes off.
Absolutely. You can follow me at BLAQQROB on Twitter. Hit me up. Follow me. I'm semi-funny.
You're very
funny. No, but... I try to be, but hey, follow me, I'll follow you back, and let's interact, man. I try to have fun on Twitter, so.
Right on.
Absolutely. And again, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W. And you can leave us an email about this show, about the recap, what your thoughts were of the episode, this episode or the next one. And you can also leave us a voicemail, 657 Johners, letting us know your most irritating character of the week. I have a feeling it will be Travis as well. And you can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mack, M-A-C. You can find that dude at Very White Guy. And I guess we're done for today.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
High five.